after hours, where the silence gets loud and the truth comes out. When the lights go down after hours, we don't hide, we don't pretend, just real talk in the dark again. Yeah, let's talk.
Welcome back, everyone, to After Hours, Let's Talk, the place where the conversation gets real after the world gets quiet. Tonight's topic is one that hits relationships, friendships, business, parenting, every corner of our lives. Why is honesty so hard to express? Why does commitment feel so heavy to say out loud? And more importantly, what are we really afraid of when we hold back the truth? I'm joined tonight by Lincoln Stoller, researcher, educationer, and someone who challenges the way we think about personal responsibility, consciousness, and psychological resilience. So you guys grab a drink, grab a warm seat, and let's dive deep into our conversation.
After hours, where the silence gets loud and the truth comes out. When the lights go down after hours.
But first, let's get into our what's on your mind tonight. And our listener wrote in, "I love deeply, but I struggle to say what I really feel. I either hold back to avoid conflict or I overcommit and then feel trapped. Why does it feel unsafe to just be honest?" And I guess what I can say to that is because sometimes we are very fearful of the responses that we will get from the person or the people that we are wanting to express our true emotions. And that could just be simply because you've had bad reactions due to you opening up and expressing your feelings, or you've, I think that's mostly what it is. We've experienced some type of bad experience or trauma when it comes to us opening up and being honest about how we feel. So when it's time for us to express ourselves, we tend to hold back because we're afraid of what that person is going to say or how they're going to react to us. And when it comes to you being overcommitted and feeling trapped, it's just the simple fact that you feel like you can't say no. I think when you're overcommitting yourself, you have an issue saying no, and you want to please everybody. You want to make everybody happy. And it's okay. It's okay to say no. It's not okay to overwork yourself and put yourself in positions to where you may not be able to show up like you're supposed to, or you miss things and committing to things that you won't be able to actually do. Lincoln, is there something you would like to say to the listener that wrote in?
I think it's very hard to be in a deep, positive relationship with anybody. And I think personally that relationships that aren't deep and positive don't come to much in the end. So that I think you have to be really courageous and believe in yourself so that when you're saying, you know, a commitment or an honest expression, you really have to believe in yourself. And I think the self-belief is where you get the courage to be honest, because you believe it's the right thing, and you're committed to yourself, whether it has worked in the past or not, or whether you're feeling trepidation about how this is working out or not. You come from a place of sort of fervent, I don't know what it's called, self-love, conviction. You could call it faith if you want to get religious, but I don't think you need to. And that's what honesty rests on, not on being liked or received or approved or whatever, you know, taken seriously or considered attractive or any of those things you might be looking for, which are vulnerabilities that aren't particularly spiritual. So that's what I think. I think the honesty comes from a belief in yourself. You don't have to be right. You just have to have integrity. And I think you also have to be willing, I mean, to be, I wouldn't say wrong, but mistaken. You know, you're trying to build a relationship with somebody of any degree. And, you know, it's uncertain. There's misunderstandings and miscommunication, and you want to test people. You want to know, are they serious? Are they honest? Are they committed? And that can be kind of off-putting, which to me doesn't matter, because if they don't make the grade, I'm disappointed, but I'm not going to be afraid. I don't know. Those are my thoughts.
Well, thank you for that. I hope that helps you out, whoever you are. I hope that gave you a little bit more clarity.
After hours, where the silence gets loud and the truth comes out, when the lights go down, after hours.
So let's welcome Lincoln into the After Hours Lounge officially. So we're so happy to have you here. Glad that you were able to join us tonight. Would you mind letting the listeners know just a little bit more about yourself?
I think it's hard to, you know, we talk about honesty. Also have to talk about clarity, have to talk about, you know, what we're trying to say. So I'm a white guy who's just turned 70, who grew up in an affluent suburban New York neighborhood full of waspy, phony people that, you know, we're all surrounded with. Not necessarily waspy, but phony. And I guess was always bothered by it. I didn't know why. I was bothered by the fact that school was cliquish and teachers were superficial and adults were indifferent. You know, this, you know, a kid's life. I wasn't needy. I wasn't hungry. I wasn't particularly bullied, but I was kind of an odd person out. So I'm talking about, you know, early adolescence through high school. So I didn't like the scene. And what did I do? Oh, I was looking for different schools, but I didn't know what I was looking for. No one else seemed to either. I didn't have any particular skills because I was, what, you know, 10, 12. And I tried to go beyond what was asked of me by reading more or doing more. But, you know, how much can you do when you don't know anything? So I actually took up rock climbing. I like that because, you know, you can fail at it. And it's not personal. You just didn't do it. I think it's sort of what people get into athletics for, but it doesn't have that social aspect. It's very personal. So this was in like the late 70s and 80s when nobody knew what climbing was. So it was a very out there kind of thing. And I had to go hitchhike several hours every weekend to go rock climbing. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I was learning. And it was real. And I had various different partners. And that was very committing and authentic. And I valued that. I didn't have much of a social life. And I didn't have much sort of girl, I don't know what you'd call it. You know, these days, it doesn't have to be girls if you're a boy. It's just whatever, emotional connections with people. It was pretty tepid. So the rock climbing was important. Consequential relationships, trust and decision making and so forth. And I thought that was great. And even today, I see it as very formative because how many kids really have to be responsible for themselves and what they're doing? Responsibility sort of begets more response. It grows you up when you're really responsible. When you're responsible for somebody's life, you grow up or else you fuck up. Or something. I don't know.
Right.
I guess you could do either. Either way, you're going to learn, but hopefully you'll learn the right thing. So after that, I went to graduate school, and that was a whole other whole shit show. Academics and university, I don't have a great deal of respect for the whole affair. But I was interested in science, and so I did my thing and got my degrees. And I was perhaps in some way, through all of this, interested in culture and people. You know, the climbing introduced me to people of different ages, from different backgrounds. It was still mostly white guys, but of different socioeconomic classes. And then my parents, who were very worldly, they had a house in the Caribbean. So I would go to the Caribbean and I would, of course, I didn't want to hang around with guys drinking martinis. That's just like death. So I would like go into the village and I would hang out with the kids. You know, these were Afro people, Afro English. You know, what was it? Yeah, they had an, you know, English background. It was that Southern Caribbean. And they're all black folks. And I ended up like spending all my time in the village with the kids. I was 16 at this point. And then in graduate school, I got connected with people who were in anthropology. I was in physics. And then I ended up going to the jungle and living with, you know, indigenous Americans. I don't know what you call them, Indians or something, but, you know, guys who ran around in loincloths and shot animals for a living and, you know, didn't have any medicine or stores or anything.
Right.
And they were, you know, I would say, I don't know, not many people get to work with totally other cultures, get to live in and be a part of a totally other culture where That's you're true. A minority and you're ignorant and you don't know anything. And, you know, they got a different religion. They got a different cosmology, family structure, language, everything. And it was wonderful living with those folks. They were so capable because everybody had to know everything because there was nobody to pick up where you failed. And, you know, then I got into mountaineering and I went to far off places, but I started to investigate the people, not just the landscapes. So I got into, you know, these strange religions and these psychedelics. And I mean, I'm an outsider, so I'm not really an anthropologist and I'm not an academic, but I'm living with people and doing sort of shamanic things and doing stuff with other Westerners in a non-Western environment. And then I got involved with, as you could imagine, sort of the psychology of it. Mm-hmm. And ended up ultimately becoming a psychotherapist and still doing this other stuff like science and research. But I very much value, you know, what, you know, you started to talk about, which is honesty mm-hmm. and integrity. And I have no tolerance for the lack of that. You know, so hell with the social life. I couldn't care less about, you know, taking baby steps forward. I want to know exactly what you think and why, you know, who your mother was, what your grandparents did, and, you know, what your experience in society has been. And if you don't want to talk about that, then have a nice day. So it's, you know, I'm kind of a shoe-in for a therapist because that's what people need to talk about. And when I talk to people who don't want to talk about that, I guess I get upset. If they've come to me to talk about serious things, but they don't want to talk seriously, you know, I get kind of anxious and I push them. And then they either leave or they open up because I can deal with it. And I'm really seriously interested in what makes people tick.
Right.
And so here I am, you know, talking to you about honesty and commitment.
After hours, where the silence gets loud and the truth comes out, when the lights go down, after hours.
So we were talking about honesty and commitment, and I feel the same way. Like, I feel like, you know, I don't think it's that hard to be honest. I don't think it's that hard to make a commitment to something, you know, if that's what you want to do. I find that. And I don't understand why people are so fearful of it or feel like it's this cliche thing, or they feel like they have to make things fluffy and sweet and tiptoe around things instead of just being very clear, very open and expressing themselves and saying what it is that they want to say.
I think everybody's frustrated with it as well. Everybody's sort of floating in this shallow boat, and they don't want to rock too much because they're afraid they'll like take on too much water. And so I think there's a certain amount of fear. And it comes back with what I said. You have to have self-faith. You have to have faith in what you feel. You have to feel that, you know, your ship has integrity. Right. And it has room for other people to climb on board, as it were, without sinking or falling over. It's a funny metaphor, but there's a kind of a balance that you have to have. And if you've grown up in an unbalanced world, which a lot of people have, it's no surprise that you'll feel hesitant or vulnerable. And, you know, what's the worst that can happen? Well, terrible things that can happen. You'll be rejected. You'll be dismissed. You'll be minimized or humiliated. Are all these things really possible if you really love yourself? Not so much. So, like, the question is, how do you get to that point of being so self-confident that you can express everything you feel? And, you know, just clarify it without feeling that you're going to be wrong. So how do you think a person gets to that point of being self-confident?
Well, I definitely think it takes, you have to have some courage within yourself, you know. Having that fear of rejection and all of those things is definitely something that overtakes people. I know for me, I've always just been like, the worst thing that can happen is a person doesn't like what I have to say. So, I mean, that's not going to hurt me. It's not going to cause me any type of physical harm. But it may hurt my feelings a little bit, but it's not something that's going to devastate me, I feel like. So I think, like you said, having that courage and that belief in yourself, you know, being confident that what you're saying is the truth, you know, and just stepping out and having that courageous leap of faith of knowing that people can disagree with you. People don't have to like what you say. People can like what you say, but is it really causing me some type of harm that's going to take me out of here? I mean, that's how I look at it. And I'm like, no, you know, sometimes having a rejection or people not liking what you have to say, it can give you clarity because you get a different point of view. I mean, it opens up a dialogue, I feel like. And that's where my mind goes to. It causes a dialogue if they disagree. And if we do agree, you can give me more information and I can possibly give you more information. So,
you know, there's that very funny book, Fight Club, which I think about a lot because it's so bizarre, actually. And I actually take it a very sort of direct level. It's like, you want to be able to defend how you feel. You want to be able to present how you feel. And if somebody attacks it, you want to be able to defend it. And if they're going to hit you, you want to be able to take it because it's worth believing in. You know, if you're going to talk to somebody who's prejudiced or, you know, racist or something, you want to know. And you know, let them hit you and you'll hit them back because you believe that this is an important sort of wall to erect or statement to defend. The odd thing about that book was that the guy was nuts, and you're never quite sure at the end of the book what went on, because the whole thing was a delusion. But I still believe in the sort of the straightforward version of it, which is that, you know, you take a stand and you're willing to defend it. And, you know, this even gets to, this is like patriotism and liberty and freedom. Are you willing to die for your country? Well, I don't know if I'm willing to die. No, I'm certainly not willing to die for a country. But I'm certainly willing to expose myself to the things I believe in, or, you know, defend the things I think should be defended.
Right.
You know, what are you going to do when you encounter, as you eventually will, somebody who doesn't either feel as strongly as you do or care as much as you do?
Right.
Or is not as committed as you are, for example, to a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get a fair number of people as clients who are struggling with relationships in where the other person has a different notion of commitment. They want mm-hmm. something. They're not getting it. They're upset or they're projecting, or maybe they're just taking advantage of someone's presence to commiserate. You got to know, you know.
Right.
If they're your partner, are they objecting to you or are they just projecting on you? And different responses. You could be helpful. You could be resistant. It's not clear. But again, you know, you stand up. The best you can do is make yourself clear and invite other people to stand with you, you know.
Right. Right.
I often ask people, what is love to you? Which is kind of a trick question because who knows what the hell love is. You know, it could be anything, many things. But if you can't actually make an attempt to answer the question, then you're kind of got a long way to go to find something you want to believe in. You don't have to be clear. You don't have to be right. But you do have to have sort of some sense of conviction of what commitment, love, honesty, all these things are.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just going to be like a noodle and you're not going to provide a foundation for anyone else.
Right.
To establish those things.
That is true. You know, we do have to be very clear. And I've found that in my own life, you know, being very clear and precise about what it is that I want, what it is that I need, what it is that I'm looking for, because I feel like it doesn't leave room for any interpretation, you know, for people to make their own assumptions about what it is that, or what they think that you mean or are looking for, you know, because a lot of times I feel like that's what causes a lot of the clashing and this person not feeling heard or feeling like the other one's being honest because no one's being very clear about what it is that they need in their life. So, well, you're either playing to someone or you're playing off of someone. You know, I have a lot of people pleasers that want to do everything for everyone. And then you have those that do take, you know, they just want to take everything, not give nothing back. So figuring out where you stand, I think, is the most honest thing that you can do, because you have to start with yourself, being honest with yourself and where you are in your current situation. And I think that provides a lot more clarity with the things that are going on around you when you can first be honest with you and then make a commitment to yourself on the things that you want to do and have in life.
I want to add something here that seems to, I know it fits, but it sounds a little funny. And it is that I think you have to be able to express what you need to other people in addition to what you believe. Mm-hmm. So it's not exactly, I mean, I guess it's sort of honest, but it also has to do with vulnerability, mental health, mm-hmm. boundary setting, even grief, what you need, you know, your lack, sense of lack. And it's my experience that if you can clearly identify and state what you need, almost more honest than, you know, providing service or mm-hmm. making people happy or
right.
offering palliative encouragement. I mean, if you really need something like love, if you can define it, or as well as you can define it,
right,
knowing that, in fact, you can't ever fully get to the bottom of it, then you're really presenting another person with a real brick of reality. You know, can they provide this brick? Can they build on what is your real need? You know, how authentic and honest are you in expressing your real need? And can they reciprocate? Because if they can't, well, then you know right there, you're not going to get your needs met if your needs are honest and they don't understand it or they're not willing to give it. And I've been married twice. And in both cases, I feel that if I had been able to express my need, I don't think I could, but, you know, it's a nice idea, that I would have known sooner that it was not going to be met.
Mm. Right.
I'm not sure the outcome would be different. That's a whole question of how you build relationships. But in my experience and the experience of my clients, it does come down to understanding what, I don't know, what do you want to call it? The vibration or the foundation or the basic legacy of what you need, what they need, and what you both can provide.
Right.
Like I'm saying, it's kind of, I lack clarity here, but I know the questions. I just don't know the answers. And maybe that's fair enough, you know.
Right.
You work it out.
You do. I get what you're saying, because I do practice that in my own life. I'm tell people what I need. I've seen a lot right now currently in my life of me expressing to people that, you know, we're all different. We all need different things. We all deal with things differently. So the way that I deal with things or what I may need is not what you may need. So I can't give or I can't perform in the manner which I don't know how to word it. I think a lot of people try to give and act on things based off of what they need and how they feel instead of what the other person needs and what they and how they're feeling.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm trying to word it, trying to get it to make sense.
Well,
so,
it is hard to say, isn't it?
Right. It is. It's very hard to say. So I'm like, we have to take it. You have to take yourself out of it. If a person is telling you what they need and what they and how they're feeling, then you have to remove yourself and your wants and your needs. And just first of all, yeah, like you said, decide whether you're able to even do those things, or give those things, perform whatever it is that they're needing from you, in order for them to feel loved or heard or understood, you know, any of those things. So I think we all perform out of a selfish place because we don't understand that we're performing for ourselves. Like, I'm giving you what I need, instead of telling you what I need, seeing or you letting me know if you can even do those things for me. Because if you can't, then like you said, there's no purpose. There's no point of going on because you can't provide what I need in I can't provide what you need, or I simply just don't want to do those things because they just don't align with what I have going on or my life.
After hours, where the silence gets loud and the truth comes out, when the lights go down, after hours.
People who I work with who are most successful are the ones who are willing to try and stretch to understand their situation. And, yeah, they're also willing to put any extra energy into their efforts. So I tend to work with like high-performing people, and, you know, high-performing people are usually driven. You know, what's driving them?
Right.
Well, something's driving them. It's usually not that hard to figure out, you know, feeling of insecurity or lack of resources or lack of support of, you know, parents and something or other. And they tend to get involved with other people who are, I wouldn't say everybody's high performing, but the like, I'm trying to think. Did I do this? No. I would like to say that I did this. I tried to like have a bunch of check boxes in my relationships that said, you know, courageous? Check. Honest? Check. Committed? Check. But I was wrong. It's easy to mislead somebody. All you have to do is say, I want you to be honest, committed, and whatever. And they can say yes, yes, yes. And if you believe them, off to the races.
That's
so
true.
You have to kind of know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it means you have to be willing to be wrong. You have to be willing to test people. I don't think I was willing to test people, because to test somebody means they might fail. You mm-hmm. might annoy them. You might appear to disbelieve them, and they might find that objectionable. And are you going to rock the boat? And the whole thing's going to sink because you didn't believe, you know, this kind of stuff.
Right.
But I think you have to do that. You know, maybe that's my high performance attitude. You know, you got to like raise the pressure to see if this container is going to hold it all, rather
right.
than just like be happy and sort of plow through the swamp of indecision until everything sinks. So I think people have to, it gets back to courage and honesty. You have to believe in yourself. You have to believe, even though you need things,
mm-hmm.
you know, love, support, whatever it is you need. Whatever it is, you have to believe it's valid so that you can ask for it and find out if it can be reciprocated. Because if you can be direct, honest, and clear, then you'll probably get the best answer that you can understand, which is important. Because until you do, you're just waiting around. You're learning. So, you know, that's what I end up telling people. It's like, do you really, you know, what's love? Do you really believe in your own love? And if you do, are you willing to demand it? Because it's like air or oxygen. If it's really a vital thing, then nobody's going to survive well without it. You're not going to survive well if you don't get it. And your partner or friend or colleague is not going to go very far if they can't, you know, respire on that level. At least, you know, you may not be perfect, but you do the best you can. So, you know, it's better to find out you're wrong sooner than later.
That's true.
You learn more and you waste less time. And, you know, like as people get older, me and you and everybody else, we get less and less tolerant because, you know, how many times you need to fail before you like get the message.
Right.
You know, you got to up the game and demand more of people, even if that threatens them or the relationship. I mean, what are you trying to accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
some
this is not
cool. Some people need a little push sometimes.
Hey, what? You want to push sometimes?
I said some people need a little push sometimes.
How about a kick in the ass? Yeah, well, we all do.
But yeah.
It's a mutual process of moving mm-hmm. forward. And you expect, it's like I was saying, Fight Club, you know, hit me before I lose my nerve. You know, mm-hmm. I'm telling you what I really believe in. I want to hear what you really believe in. And if there's a conflict, let's clarify it and see what happens.
After hours, where the silence gets loud and the truth comes out. When the lights go down, after hours.
All right, you guys, we are going to get into our quote of the night. Our quote states, honesty is the courage to be seen. Commitment is the courage to stay.
To what?
To stay.
Stay.
So honesty okay. is the courage to be seen and commitment is the courage to stay. So like we've been talking about, just having that belief in yourself, having that courage and within yourself to speak your honesty, your truth, what it is that you need, your feelings, so that you can be seen and it can be reciprocated or handled the way that it needs to be. And then being able to commit to that, which is, as we say today, our younger generation, standing 10 toes down or standing on business. You know, you got to hold to your boundaries. You have to hold to the things that, whatever rules and whatever regulations you may set for yourself for your life. So those feelings and those things that you have, being able to stay there and see them through. So we want to thank you, Lincoln, for joining us tonight. Sure. These are the conversations people need to have more often. And so to everyone listening tonight, honesty may cost you comfort, commitment may cost you convenience, but both will give you peace. And after hours, peace is priceless. So you guys, take a deep breath, breathe, relax, be courageous, have the courage and be brave to be your honest self and be honest with yourself and to others so that they may be able to be honest back with you. So always remember that, you guys, the night, it always has something to say. And until next time, we'll see you later.
After hours, where the silence gets loud and the truth comes out, when the lights go down. After hours, we don't hide, we don't pretend, just real talk in the dark again, yeah. Let's talk. After hours, let's talk. Because the night always has something to say.